A cold winter had set in as 2008 gave way to the new year, and Sherman's boys, Sherman Wilkerson, age 16, made for a sorry sight. A ragged front stretching from the keep on the borderlands to the foothills of the barrier peaks. They pressed inexorably towards the South Hills game store, carrying their wounded, their dice, and their tattered character sheets as they marched. There was fighting all across the country, on the kitchen table at the Smiths, far out at the Indian Casino, and in the halls of Seaside Middle School. The third edition rebels were beginning to lose control of the war. From his desk at Seaside, young dragonborn cleric Ephesius Wainwright penned a journal entry, a letter to his imaginary Canadian girlfriend that she would never see while he lived.
My very dear, very real girlfriend, indications are very strong that this rest is to be a short rest. Lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall into your eye when I shall be no more. Our movement may be one of a few rounds' duration and full of treasure, and yet it may be one of ability damage and death-saving throws to me. If it is necessary that I should fall on the battlefield for any addition, I am ready. I have no misgivings about, or lack of confidence in, the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how strongly my character now leans upon the triumph of encounter powers, and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of editions long past, and I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my hit points in this life to help maintain this edition and to pay that debt. I cannot describe to you my feelings on this calm summer night, when four adventurers are sleeping around me, and many of them enjoying the last, perhaps, before that of system shock, and I, suspicious that death is creeping behind me with his fatal +3 bastard sword, and communing with Pelor, my power supplement, and thee. Forgive me my many faults, and the many pains I have caused you. How long my combat, how boring my monstrous manuals have oftentimes been. How gladly would I wash out with my underwhelming multi-class system, and every little spot upon your happiness, and struggle with all the misfortune of this world, to shield you and our edition from harm. But I cannot. I must watch you from the spirit land and hover near you, while you buffet the storms with our precious player's handbook and wait with sad patience till we meet to part no more. Ephesias.
The young, definitely pretend girlfriend of Colonel Wainwright would wait the rest of her life. Ephesias fell on the battlefield the next day, ordered to take a hill, defended with desperate knowledge that the edition he so loved was like World of Warcraft for babies.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Afterthought, the discussion podcast that's the companion piece to System Mastery, where every other week, Jeff, that's me, and my co-host John, that's him.
Whee! I'm me!
We get together and discuss whatever the hell we want pertaining to the last episode of System Mastery. Maybe.
Possibly.
It could be. Do we really have much to say this week about fantasy wargaming, the highest level of all?
The very highest level. Well, I think... We've talked about, heartbreakers a bunch.
And religion in games a bunch, and crunchy but unusable rules a bunch. I feel like if there was anything I would like to pull from fantasy wargaming and bring to the table, it would be stuff that looks promising but ultimately is just a huge bummer. And you know what I mean. Like, this game has that whole thing where magic is powered by people and they create the gods, and then the gods reward them for creating them or punish them for creating them, and everything that anyone has ever believed is real. I thought that was the coolest idea.
Oh yeah, no, it's the best thing that that book did was present religion and magic and myth and everything as all existing simultaneously. Like, I love that. Because there are plenty of games out there that say, like, all the myths are real, but none of this is, or they try and pick and choose.
Well, they do the vampire start of the movie bullshit.
Yeah, they do the, well, silver works and running water doesn't.
Crosses are just bullshit. You need to get garlic, though. Garlic is the real fucking deal. But you get some sunlight on a vampire, he's just gonna laugh at you before he bites your neck.
Yeah, no, you need to get certain things in there, but this book decided it wanted to go whole hog and everything is true, and it's weird because usually when like something decides to put Christianity into a game is one of those odd things in a game where if someone decides they put it in, then they don't allow it to be negative in any way or positive in any way. Like they usually pick a side on it. So it's usually either Christianity is correct and everything's great, or it's wrong and it's actually terrible. Whereas this presented you with Christianity was correct, but so's everything else. And while God might be a entity that exists, he also is a jealous God and wants your mana.
Yeah. The problem with this game is that it doesn't just not stick the landing on that. It does its flip off the bar, and then it just falls into one of those pits of spikes from a Mortal Kombat game. Like, it the opposite of sticking a landing. Whatever that is, it does that.
It slips a landing.
It slips a landing, yeah. It's ridiculous. It goes into space and stays there forever. Because
it's the highest level of all.
It is the highest level of all. The level where you can't stick landings. Because instead of keeping the book going with that whole, oh, all religions are true and everything is powered by belief, the moment you put your foot outside that chapter, it's just, oh no, Christianity's right. Everyone else is a pagan who should be shunned.
Well, yeah, and that's... I know that it's coming from the idea of, oh, this is taking place in very specifically a European Middle Ages idea of what's happening, so that if you are, like, Jewish or Muslim or anything like that, they're gonna be like, nah, fuck you, buddy.
Which is weird, because that's not even true for all that much of European history.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just strange that he really seemed to pick his time period to be mad about.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things in games that I would like to see more of, is allowing a real world thing to exist without you picking a side on it, because they do it so well in that one chapter.
Yeah, no, that one. There's a thing about fantasy wargaming, the highest level of all. I think this might have to become a new Haven thing. Anyway, Haven, the highest level of all. Wait, no, that's
the
not.
The highest city of violence.
The highest city of high violence with fat knife clowns. Okay, I'm sorry. One of the things about Haven, one of the things you learn about fantasy wargaming after reading it is that it's not written by one guy. It's actually written by a bunch. It was written with a sort of academic review process where everyone was responsible for a chapter and each chapter had its own editor.
Yeah, and you get that same thing like when you had to write a paper in school and everyone was in charge of a certain part of that paper, and then you brought it together and realized Jim had just done nothing, and you're like, God damn it, Jim. You fucked it up for everyone.
Jim's job was to write the rules of the game.
Yeah, and that
He showed up with that, and he was like, look, guys, I came up with this super comprehensive system to determine how things go down. And everyone was like, Jim, those are impossible. That's like if you wanted to roll a die and you had to light a match and then put it under a balloon, and then the balloon goes by a mouse, and then the mouse gets scared of the balloon and runs towards a cat, and then the cat's on a treadmill, and the treadmill powers a robot, and then the robot picks up a die and throws it to hit a button on a machine that gets a different box of dice. And there's a lot of dice involved, but none of them actually get rolled.
Oh, this is terrible. Well, I mean, at least, Mary, you got the charts right. Oh, yeah, of course I did. God's a Leo.
Yeah, God's a Leo. The Virgin Mary is Virgo. Ha, right, guys?
I mean, come on. We all know that God would be a Leo. Have you seen him?
And that's why they threw all those out. Not just because of the fact that Mary is a woman and they're not much for women's lib. Oh my god. But can you think of anything in any other game where it had an amazing premise that you just loved and you wish it worked and then it didn't?
All the time?
Yeah.
Like, so many of the games that we review, you look at it and they start from this little kernel of an idea that you go, oh my god, this is going to be great. You've got an awesome idea here. And then when they go to implement it, either they've added in too many rules, or the rules don't help facilitate that idea, which I think is the biggest problem, is when your rules don't follow along with what you want to do. Like, when we talked about Don't Look Back, Terror is Never Far Behind, it's a horror game, and I'm a huge horror fan. Like, that's my favorite genre of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love horror.
Which is why you love horror board games.
Yeah, I'll fucking play anything that's horror-themed. I don't even care. But when you look at that, and it's themed around even, like, B-horror film or being, like, the shitty...
It's, I think it's supposed to be, like, literally a horror film and not just a horror event.
Oh, yeah, like, it's not like the Vampire Games or the Werewolf Games where it's horror-themed, but you're the bad guy. It's, you're the fucking jock that gets stabbed by whatever the monster is.
Yeah, so it's closer to Cabin in the Woods than a Call of Cthulhu-type game. So.
It's supposed to be so interesting, and yet... All of the rules were just terrible, nothing you did mattered.
It seemed to die with that idea right after it finished with the character classes. Like, it was like, oh, your character is a techno nerd, and a virgin, and the jock. And then, you know, you go past that page, and the rest of it's just, oh, monsters will totally kill you, the end, there's nothing about camera work, there's nothing about tropes.
Well,
they just dropped that ball.
Even then, it was, for them, their problem was... They were trying to do a generic system that they're like, oh, you'll be able to use our system for all sorts of games. You go, yeah, that made it super generic. Like, if I picked up that game and then found out that it was just a supplement for GURPS, I'd be so pissed off.
Yeah, no. I would say the biggest one for me isn't necessarily a role-playing game, but the tabletop war game War Machine.
Okay.
I think that's the one that hits me the hardest. Because you look at that game, when you walk into the store and you look at it, you're like, oh my god, I can buy a box of this and be playing right away. And it's one caster and they're controlling these giant robots and that's what it is? Robots punching robots? Holy shit! And then you read about the game at all and it's like, oh no, you get like one robot.
Maybe.
If you take
But
more...
you get, the only reason you get that robot is because it comes to you for free.
There are points that you have, that you can only spend on that robot. And you can't spend them on other things. So you might as well take it because you're throwing points away. But if you weren't, you'd probably be playing no robots. That's the smart play, is as few robots as earthly possible. Thank
See,
you.
See, and that's the saddest thing, because when we first were looking at that game, I immediately gravitated toward Kador, because I was like, oh man, it's a faction that only has big stompy bots. Like, no little bots, it's just huge brawlers, and I get to have giant robots. And I was like, that's the best, and then read everything about Kador that was, no, never use those. All you're going to do is spam a little, like, groups of... dudes with guns.
And then layer defenses all over them so that they have a hard time dying. And that's your game. And I was like, oh, this is... Because I did the same thing. I picked Krix because I was like, oh, look at these cool jacks that are like all insect-y and undead at the same time. And they like suck the life force out of you. And they're just, they look organic and they look evil. And I want a whole bunch of them. Oh, but you never use any of them, you say? It's all just skeletons? You just field a whole army of skeletons? Oh, okay.
Well, that's good.
So that's another example of a game that has this amazing premise... And then it doesn't stick that landing because the rules don't back it up.
Yeah. It's weird to me because you see a lot of games that are, say, video games are able to stick that so much better. Because when you have a horror game that's a video game, you're much more likely to be able to do decent scares or have, like, some good background to what's going on. Even just an indie game that's... Like the Slender Man game.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, have you ever actually played a horror game that frightened you, like, the way it's supposed to?
If you play the way you're supposed to, then yes. Actually, the one that got me the most, that when I first looked at it on paper, I was like, this sounds like garbage. And then playing it was absolutely one of those, like, pants-shitting, terrifying games, was Fatal Frame.
I was going to say, Fatal Frame's the one for me, too. That's weird.
Fatal Frame is goddamn amazing, and I've never played it with you, so I'm amazed you even know it exists.
Oh, yeah. Well, I played both 1 and 2, and the problem with that is they scared the crap out of me, and I love them the way you're supposed to. Then I went on the internet and read about them, and everyone's like, oh, it's a game where you play a bikini anime, and you take pictures of your own underwear. And I was like, you can do that? I had no idea.
Who the fuck is doing that
apparently,
in Fatal Frame?
Apparently, in one or more of the Fatal Frame games, there's DLC where you can put your character into a dumb moe panty outfitter.
Of course, obviously.
Because it's an anime game, and your character's a Japanese woman, so of course you're going to do that if you're the kind of gross person. But I'm not. I just wanted to see cool ghosts with a camera.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so many wonderful setups in that.
Yeah.
Because the entire premise of, okay, there are ghosts. And you're like, okay, well, I've played plenty of horror games and things like, say, a Resident Evil or whatever, where you're like, oh, there's a thing and he's going to try and kill you. You're like, okay, cool. But the conceit of the only way you see what's going to kill you is when you have a camera up. It's the same thing, there's a game out currently called Outlast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so the same idea is you only have night vision if you're using your camera, but it uses batteries.
Right.
So the tension of it makes resource mansion management a tense thing.
Resource Mansion is one of my favorite horror games too.
Oh, Resource Mansion.
Yeah.
Resource Mansion is my favorite Euro game.
You have to spend X euros in order to hire a butler. But the butler might be gay and have a secret.
Of course, this butler is represented by a black cube. It's wooden. It goes into your butler zone. Don't worry, you've got 12 different zones. You've got some cards. It's all resource management here at Resource Mansion.
Oh, God, Euro games. All right, well, I think we're about 3 miles from the topic.
Whatever, fuck it, I don't care.
I know, it doesn't...
Fuck you, fuck the topic, fuck everyone. It's my birthday. I'm recording this, it won't be when it goes up, but it's my birthday today. I'm recording on my birthday. That's how much I love you, the listener.
You know what? I haven't said happy birthday yet.
You haven't, you monster.
It's because you don't give a shit about your birthday most of the time. And I've been respecting your wishes by not drawing attention to it.
I've been respecting your wishes.
Yeah.
Your wish to be left alone.
Yeah, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
John, how old are you? It's annoyingly younger than me still, right?
Yeah, I remain annoyingly younger than you.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'll get you, old man. I can see the Reaper coming for you.
It's a team podcast. I let you talk as much as you want.
I'm coming for your spot, old man.
You can be the co-host.
Soon I'll take over System Mastery LLC.
Oh, then I'll be the co-host. All right. Okay. Why don't we... So yeah, another great game that didn't stick that landing and had such an amazing premise was that I bought in and was going to buy into and be like, oh, this is our game, guys. This is our game going forwards. Scion.
Oh my God. So Scion, I fucking bought heavily into that when that came out.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of those games that when I got the first book for that, I was like, oh shit, you guys, this is our game now. This is our new jam. This is what we do. And then the second book came out, and I was like, never mind, you guys, we are not playing this game.
This is stupid.
This is dumb. I'm sorry.
And all of us have a copy of Scion Hero, and it just sits
and
there.
And then I'm the only one with a copy of Scion Demigod, and I'm like, well, sir,
we aren't playing this. I can tell you that.
Oh, so sad.
All right, you want to answer some questions?
Sure, let's answer some questions.
Let's open the fan mailbag.
Mailbag answering questions.
All right, so let's take it from the top. First question today comes to us from Ben Strauss. Ben's one of the Something Awful folks. I forgot to write down which one of them he is, but he'll figure it out.
Ben.
All right, Ben asks,
Strauss.
This is a really weird, complicated...
Ben Strauss, mich. Ben Strauss, mich, geschlaget.
Ben Strauss, me?
Yes. Ben Strauss is me. That's what he does.
Oh, well, that's...
He Straussed me out.
Oh, what's that? On your birthday?
Yeah. Ben, how dare you Strauss me on my birthday?
At least buy a guy a drink first. All right.
Okay.
He asked us one of the more complicated questions this week, so this is going to take a little while and may take some thought. I'd like you to choose one of the movies you reviewed for Movie Mastery. Then, attempt to assemble a party from the games you reviewed in System Mastery, as though the movie in question was a scenario or adventure module. It is up to you whether you are setting this group up for success or failure, but either way, please briefly speculate how the adventure would go, and no cheating, by picking all Solar Exalted or the like. One character per system, please.
Great.
Well, that is pretty complicated. I think we should probably just both do it.
Okay, so the answer is no.
No,
moving on.
We aren't doing that. Well, here's my question. Does it have to be from our System Mastery movie reviews, or can I take it way, way back and...
Well, it says for Movie Mastery.
Oh, that means I can't make it about Frank and Queen.
No, we cannot do this about Frank and Queen. We can't set a module around Jack Frost.
Oh, that's... Or Carrie 2. Remember that? We did that movie review of that. That was so disappointing. I really just wanted to make it Frank and Queen and just make it the Captain Beef Dip and Big Toot Sweet just wandering around in a mansion with their shirts off, just saying dumb shit to each other. And
Papa got a soak.
Papa got a big Toot Sweet got a soak. That would have been my call. But okay, no, we'll play your little game.
All right.
Let's say that we have the town of Mudbug, and it's being run by the fat knife clown Big Baby Chips.
Yeah, that's our module.
Yeah.
So we, as adventurers, have to show up in town.
You have to show up in the town of Mudbug as a team of rootin' tootin' of face-painted cowboys.
All right, so we do need a sheriff, and I think obviously we can make Sugar Wolf from Furry Pirates.
Yeah, so we're going to have Sugar Wolf from Furry Pirates. I assume he'll be a bird.
Yeah, obviously a bird wizard.
Yeah.
Sugar Wolf is just his last name, has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, how dare you assume that that was what it was going to mean?
That is racist, sir.
Sir, that is super, super racist. But no, Sugar Wolf, the toucan wizard.
Yeah, obviously.
He's going to be our starting character. As you recall, the characters from Furry Pirates are all unreasonably powerful because you just use the stat array, which is the equivalent of getting a 16 in all your stats in D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah, and magic in that game works from insane ranges, and also birds can just fly.
Yeah, so we got that.
So he's going to be awesome, and I assume he'll take a power spell that lets him slap people.
Yeah, obviously.
As much as he wants. And then we're going to need a bandito to hang out with him.
Great. Let's take that as a... Let's do a Scion
character. So he's from probably one of those Mayan gods.
Yeah, probably.
So he's like the Scion of Tezcatlipotli.
Or like Tlaloc.
Tlaloc, the rain and filth god, is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Zipe Totec, one of them. It doesn't matter.
No, because the rules are all terrible.
Yeah, it's all terrible anyway. It just means he's got... Well, don't they have, like... No, they don't have blood power, do they?
They have sacrifice power.
Sacrifice power.
They can cut for power.
That's right. They can cut themselves, where Norse are the ones that have the ultra-offensive Jotunblut, which makes no sense to Norse people.
Yeah, it's, I can feed my blood to a dog, and we're blood brothers now. Oh, that's great.
That's what Norse people did. Dicks. That game. Okay, so that's where we're going to make Dirty Sanchez. He's a scion of Zipe Totec, or Tlaloc.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Who else do we have in there? We have the shitty original sheriff.
Yeah, we need a doofus to be the original sheriff. I'm going to make him one of the bugs from Numenon.
See, I was thinking more he would be from Tales from the Floating Vagabond.
Oh, so we could just be a
doofball? Because he just has one shtick that he does.
Oh, yeah, which is wanderer through time and space and meet Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, he's just got fourth wall breaking shtick, essentially.
Okay, so that's fine. We'll just make him a goofball sheriff. In that game, it'd be very easy to make a character into a goofball Western sheriff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole point is you make things from throughout time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can do that fairly easily.
All right. I am going to create a Street Fighter, the RPG character, called the Foot, bitch.
Okay.
I think that's essential.
Any of our listeners who have not listened to our episode about big money rustlers, please go do it. Also, while you're there, watch Big Money Rustlers. Do yourself a favor.
Do us a favor.
Do the world a favor.
We don't want to be alone. More importantly, we don't want the only people in the world who agree with us that that's a great movie to be wearing face paint.
Please prove me right that this is an actually fun movie to watch. I don't want to feel so bad about it.
Yeah, so there you go. So, a Street Fighter character named The Foot, bitch, who has nothing but kick powers invested and rides around on a steam-powered wheelchair kicking people.
Awesome.
So, okay, that gives us... Well, because we're making the game into an adventure module, the foot bitch is a good guy now.
Great.
So that's fine. It doesn't matter.
Awesome.
So there you go. I think, is that enough? Do you want to do one more? Should we have the midget, Bridget the Midget, before she turns evil?
I mean, we could. She's got... What game do we have where you can do a full turn as a character?
That we've covered already?
Yeah.
Because my first response would be to say Nightbane. But we haven't covered it yet.
No, we haven't, which...
Stay tuned,
man,
right?
We should.
Dude, stay tuned for Nightbane.
Nightbane!
Well, also, we are currently working on a game that I think would be a perfect choice for that. Like, right now, we are reading a game where you have a hidden inner secret.
Woo!
Anyway, we'll just move on.
All right.
Great question. I think we have to talk about how that would go, it said at the end. Please speculate as to how that would go. Well, I feel like the bird wizard would approach from very far away and set the town on fire.
I'm pretty sure Bird Wizard just wins as handily as Sugar Wolf does in the movie, which is to say, every time something shows up, a Bird Wizard and a fucking scion of a god are like, okay, we'll take care of it.
Oh, no
problem.
And they do. Yeah, and then the god just shows up, or the scion shows up and cuts himself and then throws a lasso over someone. And meanwhile, the guy who, our giant Street Fighter character just rolls around with a wheelchair, kicking all the doors and walls down.
I'm the foot, bitch!
I don't feel like we did this question right at all, but it was fun.
Whatever. That's what you get. That's the kind of answer you get when you Strauss me on my birthday.
Our next question comes to us too from Elliot, who actually gave me a pronunciation guide to his last name. It's Shootshare.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Although he said not like Cher the singer, so I'm not really sure what... He said, it's Elliot Shootshare, but not Cher like the singer, which that's not useful pronunciation information. I need to know what it is like as well. So is
it's
it
like shoot chair.
Shoot chair?
Shoot chair.
So try one more time, Elliot. We'll get there eventually.
You fucked it up, Elliot. You done fucked up.
Good question, though.
Great question.
Really good.
Anyway, the next question comes to us.
Thanks so much, Elliot. Next. Elliot asks, both of you have made jokes about the wave of 90s extreme comics, often drawn by Rob Liefeld, like Youngblood, X-Force, and the New Mutants. Did you actually read those as a kid, or did you learn about them through internet osmosis like I did? If yes, what was that like? Did you actually buy hologram covers back then? Were they good comics, at least to a 10-year-old?
All right.
Oh, man, I wish I was 10 in the 90s.
I was 10 at one point
in the
90s. I know,
for like the first year of the 90s.
Okay, so the answer is yes. Yes and yes. I definitely was reading comics during the ridiculous Bronze Age of shenanigans.
I always like calling it the Iron Age. Is that...
Or Iron Age. No, the Bronze Age was like the fucking original Batman.
Yeah.
Or the old, like, horror comics and romance comics.
Right. I always like the Iron Age because it calls to mind that the whole thing was a little more gritty and oily than it needed to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can just call it the pouch age of comics.
Yeah, the ponytail age. Ugh. Yeah, you could call it one of the eye patch age.
The gun drawn on afterwards age.
The one glowing eye so the eyes don't have to match up in height age.
So I was collecting comic books back then, and I thankfully missed out on a lot of the egregious examples, but they did worm their way into some of what I was reading. A lot of what I read was... I was huge into What If. That was just the best series for me, because I've always loved the alternate reality, and you don't have to go by a timeline that needs to make sense, and you can do whatever you want, you can kill characters, so that was the best for me. And the only time the weird Iron Age type thing went in there was when they were doing a What If something happened in the modern stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up getting, like, the Invisible Woman in a bikini with a four cut out for her
tits. I remember
tits,
that bullshit outfit.
And she had a fucking pouch bandolier and a gun as big as she was.
Right, of course she did.
Because you need a gun when your powers are putting a force field around yourself. Get the fuck out of here. Ugh.
Yeah.
And you can shoot force blasts. You don't need a gun. You have projectile powers.
Now,
it's like giving the Human Torch a flamethrower. Fuck you.
I bought very few comics in the 90s because I didn't have any money. But of the very few I did, most of them were offshoots of that genre. Because the two things I read, and this is going to sound stupid because they're both perfect examples of this. One of them was a gift from a friend who gave me a bunch of old trades he didn't want anymore. And that meant he gave me a bunch of Spawn and a bunch of Prime.
Wow. Nice.
Now, I don't know if you've ever even heard of the character Prime. I know John has. Prime is a 10-year-old boy who sometimes... He's basically Captain Marvel, but gross.
Yeah, he's a real nasty, gross, like, oh, we wanted to do him what Captain Marvel would really be like.
Yeah, so he basically creates a body for himself out of protoplasm instead of just turning into an adult. So there were a lot of shots of him, like, a little kid trying to break out of the body of an over-muscled, doofy-looking superhero. That's Prime. And then Spawn, of course, is Spawn. The one thing I bought for myself and enjoyed in the 90s... was the 90s X-Factor. And that's the one with Havoc and Polaris, Wolfsbane.
Strong Guy,
who I always think of as the quintessential making fun of the Iron Age, like the first guy to do it. Because Strong Guy is just all muscles.
Thing is, he wasn't. When he came out, he wasn't making fun of it. He was the quintessential I am the 90s character.
Yeah, because he's just, what's your
power? Because not only is his power to be a huge, strong guy, but it actually hurts him and he's in pain.
Right, and then the other character that was added late during the series, a guy, a grayish-purple guy who could turn his hand into a gun.
Oh,
Random.
Yeah. Random. I had an action figure of Random. He came with a gun hand, and you could put projectiles into his gun hand, and they actually shot them out.
Well,
cool action figure. Thank you for that, Mom.
Can we just talk about their names? Strong Guy and Random.
Yep.
Okay, Random's power has nothing to do with randomness.
Oh yeah, it's deliberate. His name should be deliberate.
Yeah, his name should be Purple Gun, or Handgun, or
Handgun. That's the greatest hero. Just a guy with a handgun.
Well, he is a guy with a handgun. That's what Random is. His name is Random because Random is a badass word, and he's a badass with a... He had like a biker cut leather vest and a bandana. That was his costume. What a ridiculous character. And then Strong Guy, whose power is that he is a strong guy That's the 90s.
Oh, yeah. And I did buy holograph covers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing in, like, a CVS at one point, there was a hologram cover for Spider-Man where he was in a metal suit. And this is way before the Iron Spider thing. He was just in, like, a big metal suit.
Is it the one where it's, like, it looks like carpet samples made out of metal? Like,
a metal version of the Shocker's outfit.
Yeah, I know that outfit. I think he only wore it for the one. It was supposed to be, like, laser reflective or something. He only wore it for, like, one comic. It is terrible looking.
And that's the cover to a Spider-Man comic, which is all metallic shiny hologram.
That's the worst.
I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah. I need to buy that because it's a hologram. I also have they did a thing for the 30th anniversary for Spider-Man, which was a bunch of hologram covers,
mm-hmm.
and I got all of those because each of the different Spider-Man ones had a different Spider-Man cover. So you had, like, a blue one for Amazing Spider-Man and a red one for Spectacular, and I didn't quite... I was, to begin with, a little too young to think of them as collector's items. But I know that was the big point of it. Like, when they rebooted the X-Men comic, they had 5 different comic covers that would make one giant cover if you put them, like, side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had one that was all of the covers together. And so they had originally done that because they're like, oh yeah, you'll want to get all of these. They're collector's things. Because that was the point where you started to get those news things where it's like, someone sold a copy of Adventure Comics 1 for $50,000, and everyone went, oh shit,
oh, I gotta save these stuff. Yeah, except no, you don't.
No, it's the same thing with baseball cards, where they were like, oh yeah, here's all these weird, like, rookie things, and we've got, like, here's our presentation of the best of this year, and there's only foil ones for this guy. And you're like, okay, great, but it doesn't matter.
No one wants these anymore.
You printed millions of these.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
You've saturated the collector's market. The only ones that are worth it are the ones you recall, like the one where the guy's bat says fuck face on the end of it. So yeah, that those are all dead. It's like Beanie Babies. They're just dead markets. It's hard to find a solid, real collector's market anymore. You want one now? Amiibos.
No, the only thing that ends up being a real collector's market now is when they force it, like the Amiibo, where they don't put out enough, or when it just oddly happens to happen that way. So if someone, like, self-publishes a comic, and they go, look, I only did a run of, like, 500 of these because I didn't think it was going to be popular, and then it takes off, then having an original run of that, okay, that's a collector's item,
right?
Because they didn't think so. But any big publisher is like, oh, I put out an issue of anything. It doesn't matter. There's thousands of them.
The things I own that are holograms. My dick, of course. My dick's a hologram.
Yeah. It pops out if you look at it at the right angle. Oh!
Oh my gosh. No, I have a sticker of a T-Rex. Let's see. What else do I have that's a hologram? I have the Decepticon logo on a few of my old Decepticon toys. And I believe that's it. I'm not a hologram collector or any kind of person who takes good care of his property. So I don't really have a lot of hologram stuff. So there you go. Good questions. Those comics were pretty good. I remember...
Yeah, as a 10-year-old, my fucking... threshold for what's good in a comic was very low. And even then, when they put out, like, Image Comics and all the, like, the blood.
Yeah, death blood. This blood's for you. Bloodshot. And a guy in there is yelling Yabba Dabba Doom.
Yeah, no. When that came out, I was just old enough to go, this is dumb.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Me too. I was just old enough to be like, Iron Man and Exo Manowar? Who are you trying to fool, video game? Oh, okay, so there you go. I mean, granted, I could tell as a kid that the Spawn comics I had were bad, but that was about it. I thought the Prime comics were awesome.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. First of all, no one knew who the fuck I was talking about, and I'd be like, guys, I have this comic Prime, and they're like, what?
And you're like, yeah, you probably haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's very obscure. Okay, dear, next question comes to us from, Stefan, the High Potentate of Denmarkia.
Oh, yes, our good royal listener from Denmarkia.
Our liege.
One of the our great sponsors.
Yeah.
He uses all of the gross national product of Denmarkia to fund us.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that is $5.
Yeah, there are two countries doing that. The other one is Chechnya. So thank you very much, Stefan. And he says, dear Cheese Dukes, we've been duked.
Oh, great. Sweet. We are now the Cheese Dukes.
Oh, man, we have titles and land. Oh, my gosh. Take that, Longshanks.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, he says, Dear Cheese Dukes, it is with great pleasure that we write to you again. Oh, I guess Denmarkia all write to us. Oh, it's Royal We. That's what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, the Royal We.
Okay. You mention the worst very often. What is the actual worst? Also, does this differ from literally the worst?
Well, the actual worst is probably Denmarkia.
Well, you know, I mean, they just have such a shit education system.
Yeah, that, I mean, they're pretty much the worst on all rankings.
Across the board.
Except for the education is slightly above the U.S.
Yogurt exports. They're very good at exporting yogurt.
And yogurt commercials.
Yeah, yogurt, electricity, and waterfall steam are the three primary exports of Denmarkia, yeah, and they're really good at all of those.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the actual worst? Let's see.
The actual worst is probably when you're like, you get up and you go to the bathroom and it's super dark, and you make it there, and you go to the bathroom without turning lights on, everything works fine, and you're like, oh man, nothing happened, and right before you get back into bed, you stub your toe. That is the actual worst.
Oh, like for real wakes
like
you up?
Like you stub your toe on the bed when you go to get into it, and you're like, I made it to the bathroom and back! I was in the home stretch.
I earned this!
This was mine!
Well, let's see, when I was a kid, I accidentally knocked one of my own fingernails off with a sledgehammer.
I think that's the literal worst.
Yeah, and then the next day, after I went to the emergency room, I went to a pony ride the next day, and the pony bucked me off and stomped a hole through my stomach. And I was visiting my grandparents, which means my grandparents kept having to drive me around to hospitals. So, over the course of 2 days, I was just ridiculously injured in two ways. I mean, this horse put a hole through both halves of my, like, the front and back of my, it was the worst.
Yeah,
pony.
It stomped through you.
Through me. I had a straw in my stomach.
Did you ever see Death Becomes Her?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, except,
there was a guy holding a candelabra through your midsection.
Oh, God. I was still really mad about my finger. So, that for me, that's the worst. Ponies are the worst.
Yeah, ponies are the literal worst.
Yeah, the literal worst is, like, cartoon ponies. So that's the difference between the worst and the literal worst. Ponies are the worst. Cartoon ponies with apparently suggestive butts are the literal worst.
I'd say the literal worst is probably Melville is
oh, yeah.
Literally the worst.
Yeah, I was going to say literally the worst is probably Melville or Miaville. Just kidding, I actually like Miaville.
There you go.
So yeah, literal worst, Melville. I can agree with that. Or I might also throw it to oh shit, what's his name? Yoknapatawpha County, As I Lay Dying.
Oh, fuck, Faulkner.
Faulkner.
Oh, God, fuck. At least As I Lay Dying, you can read. The rest of his shit, you're like, God damn it, just stop. You're like the fucking David Foster
Wallace
of your generation.
Yeah.
Which is to say, everyone loves you, you are a great writer, and I don't want to read anything.
You ever want an insight into how my brain works? Jeff, that's me. How my brain works. I can remember the name of the county, the fake county that Faulkner books are set in, but not his name. I'm like, oh yeah, it's Yoknapatawpha County. I know that. Everyone knows that. I don't remember who writes books set there. Oh, God. All right, so thanks for the question. Next questions. Oh, this is a bunch of them, and these are from our young fan, Devlin. He's like 15 or 16 or something like that.
Why are you even listening to us?
Yeah.
Go have fun in your skating parks.
There's an explicit tag on this. Didn't you notice?
Come on, ask your parents first.
All right. Devlin S., and he, oh my gosh, he really has, he writes a lot of letter. Begrudgingly, after you roasted the shit out of me on your spectacular nerd show. Hey, he told us to. My one other friend I convinced into listening to System Mastery had me join his 4th edition campaign. Good. All right. I still stand by that being unique is forced on you, like an anti-evolution billboard in Idaho, and rogues have upwards of 6 versions of sneak attacks at first level. Yeah, that's awesome. That's the best part about being a rogue in that game.
Yeah, come on.
It's okay. It's fine. All right, great. Thank you, Devlin. I'm glad you can acknowledge that it's fine. But you don't care about your 15-year-old fan's admittance to thinking it wasn't complete dog shit, so non-RPG-related questions for your pleasure. What is the best infomercial to masturbate to, and why?
Oh, it's the, okay, so there's a thing where it's a fake shirt to put over your breasts to cover them that makes it look like you're wearing an undershirt without wearing it. And I don't remember what it's called, but it clips onto your bra straps, and so it's basically like the cleavage blocker, but the entire commercial is spent on, like, dudes just leering at cleavage, and it's like, hey now, don't look at tits! wear this, and you're like, all right, this is terrible from, like, every angle. Like, except for the one that's down your shirt. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Let's see. I'm going to go straight for the butts, which there's a infomercial out there for jeggings from back before they became just something you could buy at Walmart, and those are just leggings that look like jeans.
Okay.
That's all they are. They're just leggings that have fake denim printed on them. So they just look like jeans. And that means a lot of close-ups on butts walking around.
Yeah. Well, you can tell what we prefer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, granted, the reason I'm really going with women's butts is because I can't think of a Mike Rowe infomercial. I mean, he was on QVC for years, but I don't remember any specific thing he did, and he is a handsome gentleman.
All gentlemen?
Right. There it is. All right, next question. You are given one instrument of death to fight each other as your true selves, those being a giant anthropomorphic hot dog and a 10-year-old girl. What weapon do you choose? Well, hot dog, name your weapon.
Well, I think, for me, it's going to be a piano that I'm holding with a rope.
Oh, like a piano on the end of a rope?
No, no, it's suspended above me, and when you get next to me, there's going to be a big red X in front of me, and you're going to stand there, and then I'm going to let it go. Now, unfortunately, the piano's going to hit me,
yeah.
And then it's going to raise up, and I'm going to be playing chopsticks with my teeth.
Because you're an anthropomorphic cartoon hot dog.
Yes.
All right, well, since I'm a little girl, my weapon is going to be my big doe eyes.
That's a good, definite... Oh, the Cammy Secret. Yes, that's what it is.
You got the name for the infomercial.
That's the Cammy Secret.
There you go, folks. Get your motors running and go watch the Cammy Secret.
Go find that shit on YouTube.
Yeah. And ladies, find a Mike Rowe one. You'll be with me. Good times. You can just watch Dirty Jobs. It's the same shit.
Yeah. I often dream about him giving me a dirty job.
I've got a lot of dirty jobs he can do. If you're following. Yeah. All right.
I don't wash my junk. That's what I'm saying.
All right. So there you go. I'm going to go with my big doe eyes. Next question. We missed this one for a couple of weeks. It's a bunch of questions from good friend of the show, Plague of Hats.
Yep, good friend of the show and known sex offender, Plague of Hats.
That's right. And he asks, which is your favorite thumb? Tom Thumb?
Tom Thumb? No.
No, I hate that guy. First of all, he's racist.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, my thumb?
Yeah.
My thumb.
I'm pretty sure if I'm trying to guess right from Willow... It's my thumb.
Yeah, pretty sure it's my thumb. According to the Willow doctrine.
Yeah, then the finger that holds the most power is your own finger.
That's correct, and that means that your own thumb would also hold the most power, because it's a kind of finger.
It's a kind of finger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm trying to think of someone else who's famous for thumbs up in history, but I'm not really coming up with anybody, so I'm going to go with, yeah, we're going to go with our own thumbs.
Yeah, that's my thumb.
That's the source of power, according to Willow, which, as we all know, is actually an instructional video.
Yeah. Completely accurate.
Yeah. Everything in there also really happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Next.
I once found Billy Barty, and he gave me 3 acorns.
I once went for a swim in a beer.
I once stole a baby from a stupid daikini while he was taking a wee-wee.
I once got eaten by a 2-headed brachiosaur.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was terrible for me. I mean, granted, it was my fault. I went near it. All right, next question from same guy. How many times have you fallen down a staircase on purpose / on accident? I've never fallen down one on accident. I have gone down them on makeshift sleds a number of times.
Okay, I have, I think, only once or twice gone down a staircase on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I have, however, fallen down a staircase probably at least 2 or 3 times on accident. Living in a home that had a staircase, I went up and down it quite a bit, and there are times where you're just not looking. Also, I'm very tall.
Yeah, he is.
And it had a low-hanging area about halfway down the staircase.
I also have a low-hanging area.
Yeah. Yeah. Where if you weren't looking, you'd just smack your face right into it.
Yep, same thing.
Yeah. And then you'd start going down.
Uh-huh, same thing. Yeah. We're on board here. I'm on board.
And then you just get really injured.
Oh.
And then you'd hate it.
That's true. That part's right. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's still
right.
Good.
I'm back. We're back on the same page. I've never lived in a house with stairs. So anytime I've gone sledding downstairs, it was at a friend's house.
Yeah. Now, of course, having stairs in my house, I did have to, at one point, take a mattress and go down the stairs on a mattress.
Were you protected?
Yeah. I had stairs.
Okay, good. All right. Just checking.
Yeah.
All right.
God damn it.
Old goon stuff.
Hey.
All right. Next question, also from Plague of Hats. Known public sex criminal, Plague of Hats, asks, sniff a pretty girl's seat cushion? No, I'm not into butt smell.
No.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I mean, I'm not begrudging any people who are into the smells that ladies leave behind. It's never been my thing.
Yeah, it's never been like, oh man, look at her, she's so hot. I bet she has good smelling sweat.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of the girls I know and date, I can already smell them if they're nearby. I don't need help.
Yeah, you date the stinky ladies.
No way. Let's talk your girlfriend first of all.
First of all,
first sir.
Oh, these questions are just made to tear us apart. We've got to stick together.
We've got to stay friends.
Remember who you are.
Would Top Gun be better if Goose had been the main character?
No.
Shorter.
No. That would have been a terrible movie.
It's already a terrible movie.
We'd follow Goose around and he'd be like, hey, everyone.
I'm Goose. I'm a competent nav guy.
I'm here. I'm not trying to do anything crazy. I'm Goose. Hey, everyone.
Do you like the Isley Brothers? Because I sure do.
We'd be following him around and he'd be like, hey, everybody. I just want you to stay away from my pond and I'm just trying to get your bread. Honk, honk.
He'd just be like, I'm already married to Meg Ryan and that's the end of that.
Don't... Oh, and that's why I died. I could have not died in that sequence.
I was going to say, if you have one reason for the movie to star Goose, it's a lot shorter.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the dumb ending where the character is not drummed out of the Navy entirely, but instead is given, like, a command.
You get a special award for being the worst person.
Yeah.
It's like Wing Commander.
It really is. They're like, okay, what did you do? Well, you know, I disobeyed orders a lot, and I engaged in an international incident and killed my wingman and, you know... Oh, also, I should have gotten drummed out of Top Gun just for buzzing the tower the first time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the same fucking thing with Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But at least he gets fired.
Yeah, he gets fired and he's a superhero later. This guy's just like, how do you build a naval career? Is it through discipline and doing your job? Oh, no, it's through fucking around and being a shit.
No, I'm a huge doofus shithead who does what he wants, but that's how I get ahead in life.
You know what kills me the most about watching Top Gun? Is the San Diego navigation in it. It makes no sense. Like, it's clear that they had San Diego, you know, they had their camera crew go to San Diego and get some shots, and, you know, it's clear that the lady lives on a corner near the super rich part of Coronado Island, and he drives up to it at one point on his motorcycle, but then he drives away, like, the wrong direction. Like, the way he is going to just a beach. There's nothing else over there.
What, maybe he was going to the beach?
It must have been. He just got on his motorcycle all angry and rode directly to the beach at full speed in his flight uniform.
That's how you do in San Diego.
Yeah, to me, as a San Diego native, that movie just infuriates me with all the shots not making any sense. All right, last question from Plague of Hats. If you were to reenact the falling down a hillside scene from The Princess Bride, would you rather be Robin Wright finding your lost love or Cary Elwes being Cary Elwes?
Well, I'd rather be Cary Elwes because he is a dread pirate at that point.
That's true, yeah. He's a dread pirate right about then. And if you're Robin Wright at any point, you may end up married to Sean Penn.
Ooh, ouch.
Like, that is a danger you have to engage
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that is a sad danger that is coming your way.
I mean, I have no idea when she left him, so I have no idea if this is Robin Wright pre-Sean Penn or post-Sean Penn. I think it's pre.
I think so. So that's what you have to look forward to.
Yeah, you have Sean Penn.
Like,
in your
send
future.
Me back to the fire swamp.
Oh my gosh, Sean Penn with his self-righteousness and his weird broken-looking nose. No, thank you. So yeah, I'd also take Cary Elwes on this one.
Yeah. Plus, yeah. He's Cary Elwes. That guy's amazing.
He's just so... How come he doesn't get more work? It kills me.
I know. Every time he shows up in something, I'm like, man, you are the best.
He's like in like four movies. They're all great. You got your Robin Hood Men in Tights. You got your Princess Bride. You got, I think, Wag the Dog.
You got Liar Liar.
Liar Liar. And
in one of the best little roles in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, he gets to play the nude husband.
The nude husband, right.
Yeah, the nude husband.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that part? When he's like, oh, you're afraid of the claw. Yeah.
Let the record show that he's thrusting.
Yes, please let the record show that.
Visual podcasting. Let the record show that he's thrusting while we answer a question from known public sex offender.
Sorry, Plague of Hats.
Sorry, we love you.
I'm sorry that you're such a sex offender.
Oh my gosh. You know, we just have to say it.
It's part of the deal.
Right. God, okay, so there you go. I'd take Cary Elwes. Oh.
Oh.
You know where he's a ray of sunshine, by the way? Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right?
Right. You get that little moment in the middle of like, oh, Cary Elwes. Oh, I love you. I'm so happy to be hanging out with you in the middle of this. Otherwise, this movie kind of drags in the middle. I mean, even then, I'm joking. That movie's amazing from start to finish.
Well,
am I wrong?
You just get a bunch of Gary Oldman in there, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
And Anthony Hopkins? I mean, come on.
You get the hop?
You get oh man, that movie's just packed. Never mind. He's a great part of a great film. That's what I'm saying there. All right, Will Reeves asks us a couple of questions. Thanks, Plague. Next questions come to us from Will Reeves, and he says, nice Silverhawks reference. Which Silverhawk was the best, and why was it the one with a cowboy hat?
I never watched Silverhawks. I have no idea about anything of it. I think the best Silverhawk was the silver one.
All of them except one are the silver one.
I'm correct, then.
One of them is wearing a cowboy hat. There's like four of them that are just silver guys, and you can pretty much picture what they are based on the fact that they're an 80s cartoon, so you have a big one.
Well, you gotta have a big one. I assume there's a lady.
There's a lady.
There's a small nebbish one.
There's a little kitty one, yeah. And then a main character one.
There's gotta be protagonist, and then there's gotta be probably protagonist's, like, sort of rival.
Yeah, that's the gold one. You've got cowboy hat one, who's the singer.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. That's how it breaks down. I've also never watched Silverhawks. I am just familiar with them from owning sticker albums.
Yeah, I literally have no idea. I couldn't tell you what they look like. I couldn't tell you what the show was about.
And you know what, Will? We're going to agree with you that it's the cowboy hat one, because we trust you.
I trust everything you say, Will. I've played games with you. I have broken bread with you, Will.
Broken nerd bread.
We have shared a bond. A bond that cannot be broken. And I will trust you that when you say it's the cowboy hat one, you have not led me astray.
That is true. And I have never met you, but I think you're probably right. Okay, next question. If the Trilams from the Revenge of the Nerds and Delta Tau Chi from Animal House were Gangland creations, who would win in a fight?
Well, I'd probably say the Delta Tau Chi, because they're the good guys in this story.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the nerds would probably win this, but it wouldn't be a win for the audience. Like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, we're nerds, and we don't like them because they're drunk, so we firebombed their house and raped all their girlfriends.
Ah, I drugged his parents and then put them in my torture room.
One of us is gay. And then they'd be arrested and go to jail, and then eventually Delta Tau would win it.
Yeah. I think what it ends up being is basically like Saw, but with two different houses.
Yeah. The problem I have is that Delta Tau Chi, they aren't offensive or egregious in any. I mean, they're offensive to the sensibilities of old ladies.
Yeah, they're offensive to the dean.
Right, to the... Oh, the Delta Tau. Oh, double...
Animal House!
Double secret probation! But not to some nerd frat. I feel like they'd be friends.
Maybe.
I feel like at most, the Animal House guys would just be mad at the nerds for being rapey creeps.
See, I think if they met, that would be the nice thing, is they'd be like, come on, guys, and they would teach them a lesson.
Yeah, they'd be like, come on, guys, quit it with this. You don't need to spend all your time sabotaging the lives of other people. You can just be nerds.
You can just enjoy your life the way it is.
Yeah, you're gonna be fine, you weird nerds. Except you, Booger.
You're gonna be terrible.
Yeah.
You're gonna be in a lot of shitty movies.
And you, the one with the red hair who's an even nerdier nerd than the other nerds, you're going to go directly from college to one of those, like, support homes for adults. Like, you can't be out in society.
I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, you have to go live with a bunch of guys who paint the walls a lot. That's your future.
Yeah.
But don't worry, because you're going to be a huge supporter of Donald Trump.
Ah! Oh, that was sad. That made me sad inside.
You didn't see that coming.
No, I did not. That made me real sad in my middle bits.
Yep, there you go. Those are all the questions we're answering this week. So thanks, everybody, for all the fantastic questions.
Thank you so much.
Let's close up the old mailbag.
Let's burn these letters.
It's two different songs every time. This is totally Muppet Babies, isn't it? Burn these letters and I am sad for you. Oh, that song. It's so creepy. When your world looks kind of weird and you wish that you weren't there.
Just lie back and think of England.
I mean, what the hell, Kermit? What happened to you? What's that lady who's just legs doing? Where he's just like, oh, I wish I wasn't here. I'm scared of my life.
Well, he's a baby. Babies are scared of everything.
I guess that's
what
true.
What is that, a gray blob I haven't seen before?
Oh, crap! Yeah. So let's get to the poll. What do you say?
All right. So it has been a while since our poll has been out there. We've let you had some time to play around with our poll.
Yeah.
Really get into it.
We just keep doing this joke.
Okay. So we had a bunch of poll questions for you, and we have been waiting because we really wanted to get your opinion on some of our more serious ones But that being said, we are also going to tell you the results of the less serious ones.
So let's just start right off with the results of the question, what's the worst fourth film in a franchise? And it looks like the overwhelming majority wanted us to know all about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Thank you so much, listeners, for that. It is the only film that I have come out of already ranting by the time I hit the door to leave.
I think the two of us, we saw that together, right?
Yes, we did.
And both of us were out there just going, oh, what the, but this, but then this part, oh.
Yeah, surrounded by like four other, five other people that were just looking at us as we raged intensely.
Yeah, so that's, we both would agree with that, although I also would have thrown points to Star Wars Phantom Menace, because that movie was the one that killed Star Wars for me. Killed, at this point though, at least Star Wars is dead for me, and I don't care what they do. they could freaking replace Luke Skywalker with a dog, and I'd be fine. I'd be like, whatever, you can't kill it again. It's already in the dirt.
Good mention for Terminator Salvation as write-in.
There's a lot of write-ins here. Why don't we talk about those? We'll just go down the list. In order, it's Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, agree. Star Wars Phantom Menace, agree. Batman and Robin, also agree. Then we start getting into the lower ones, Alien Resurrection. A lot of votes for Other in this category, which is great. A lot of people like Leprechaun 4, so it's not even in there, and I'm guessing that people just didn't even watch Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
I didn't. I have no idea what happens
in... It's got mermaids and shit. It's not that great. I think it has Ian McShane or something like that.
It's got Blackbeard, and they try to find the fucking
Fountain of Youth.
Who gives a shit?
There's nothing happening. So, a couple of write-ins here. Superman 4, Quest for Peace. People
asked
why. We actually considered it. It's true. And we didn't put it on the list. The reason being, it's better than Superman 3.
Which is insanely bad.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, even if Superman 4 costs like $8 to make, at least it has a bad guy in it, and at least the protagonist of the film is Superman and not Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
So there you go. Other write-ins included The Three Stooges 4, The Legend of Curly's Gold, Live Free or Die Hard. We also considered that. The thing is, again, there's a worse fifth one, and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which, I don't know. It's hard to really say with
it
that one.
It was fine.
Yeah. Okay, that leads us to the best fourth film in a franchise.
And the best one we got...
Wow, with not just a plurality, but a majority of the votes, is Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Hell yeah, people love them whales.
Yeah, that's a good movie. The transparent aluminum, people wearing 80s clothes, Spock wearing 80s clothes.
Yeah, Spock with that headband, oh, so good.
Oh man, 80s and the importance of whale song. Remember that? Remember everyone gave a shit about whale noise?
Yeah.
That was good. Oh, man, humpback whales. You could buy, like, albums of that shit. All right, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire comes in with a quick second, Leprechaun 4 in space in third, and then ringing up the rear in order, Fast and Furious, Thunderball, and Friday the 13th.
Now, let me just say, for those of you who didn't vote for Leprechaun 4 in space, Leprechaun 4 is rad.
Go see it.
In fact, watch the full Leprechaun series. You can probably stop at 4. Leprechaun in the Hood, not the best. And Leprechaun Back to the Hood, terrible cash grab. Shouldn't have even been made.
Now, we really want to send a thank you out to all the folks who got something that we forgot in this one in the write-in.
Yes.
There's like 10 votes in the write-in for Mad Max Fury Road. And I completely forgot about, what is the one that's not Beyond Thunderdome or just Mad Max?
It's Road Warrior.
Road Warrior.
I completely forgot Road Warrior existed, right, which is why I didn't think of it as a fourth movie.
To me, I was thinking that Fury Road was a third, and so it barely even counted. But no, Fury Road, if it had been on the list, probably would have just won outright. But thanks to everyone who put it into the other category and reminded us, because goddamn, that's a good movie.
Oh, it's so good.
I want to see it again. All right, now, and other write-ins included Jurassic World, which there's a reason that's not on that list. John hasn't seen it, but that movie made me angry as hell. That's not a movie about dinosaurs. That's a movie where there are some dinosaurs, but the bad guy is just a giant murderer.
Yeah, no, it's a monster movie, not a dinosaur movie.
And I want a dinosaur movie.
Yeah.
So there's a reason that wasn't even there. Crystal Skull got a vote in there. Also, Thunderball was terrible. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. And one person who wrote in Live Free or Die Hard and then just kidding. So thanks very much for that. All right. Let's see. The objectively best Starburst flavor.
Wow. Okay. That was way closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. There's no majority. There's just 31% of the vote for pink, which that's good.
Yeah. That's mine. That's my backed color.
Yeah. Coming in at the very rear, 12% for yellow. That is not surprising. No one likes yellow Starburst.
How did you even get fucking 12%?
I like lemon candy. So, I mean, the thing is, I like other candies better, but I do like lemon candy. So
the yellow Starburst is the Starburst you give to someone when you don't like them.
I know, and I like lemon Starburst, so people are okay to give it to me. I'd prefer a pink one, but I'm not going to turn yellow down. So I know where this is coming from.
Well, I'm not going to turn yellow down. I'm a big fat guy. You just gave me candy. Obviously, I'm going to eat it.
All right. Beating both orange and yellow is some bullshit from Tropical or Flavor Duos or whatever. So, good. It got 70% or 22 votes, which I believe it. Although, honestly, every time I try those Tropical ones, I'm so disappointed.
Well, yeah, because they're always like, this is some tropical thing. You're like, no, it just sort of vaguely tastes like something.
The one that always gets me is passion fruit. Passion fruit's like too sweet to make candy out of.
Ah.
It always just tastes like I've got a mouthful of my own sweat with a bunch of sugar in it. And I'm like, mmm.
Then I realize I do have a mouthful of my own sweat with sugar in it.
Mouthful of your own sweat with sugar in it, brand Starburst.
Come on, Starburst, make it happen.
Get with the program.
Mouthful of Jeff's sweat Starburst.
Make it one of those mystery flavors.
That should be the mystery dum-dum rolls. Like, yeah. those suckers.
Although I personally think those things should just taste like noted pickup artist mystery.
Yeah, that's obviously.
Right? Yeah. God, that would be awful, right?
Ugh.
Nothing but Axe body spray and dumb lies. Okay, let's see. Why does anyone listen to country music? And again, just like Starburst flavor, this one was a suggestion. We didn't actually write this question in the first place, although the suggester did ask us to write all the answers.
Yeah,
it was, at InfoCorn. So thanks for that. And here we go. Oh gosh, I'm glad that my big mean one that I thought everyone would be mad at instead won, which is Confederate flag on truck not getting the point across.
My favorite one coming in second, which is because fuck you, Dad, parentheses, Dad is Glenn Danzig.
I like that too.
I like to imagine Glenn Danzig's kid being like, fuck you, Dad, and then just listening to like the worst country. Not even like pop country.
Yeah, and then also writing songs in favor of the RIAA. Dad, I'm so establishment, you have no idea. I think censorship's a good thing, Dad. Oh, the son of Glenn Danzig. Why don't we make that one of our characters soon?
Yeah, there we go.
All right, and then let's see. Coming in behind that, enjoy pop music, but hate non-steel guitars. Can't line dance to hip-hop, have tried, and Time Machine broke in 1975. Down at the very bottom. I like that one.
Yeah.
It's good music in 1975.
It's a good answer that no one cared
yeah,
for.
Yeah, get a Bronco, drive around, have a good old time in the 1970s. Enjoy the awful, awful pubic hair game. It's not a good time for that.
It is the best time for the pubic hair game. Remember when families would sit around and every Sunday evening they'd play the pubic hair game?
Roll a dice into the giant pile of pubic hair, then try to find it.
First one to find it wins.
Oh my gosh.
I think I found it. No, that's the clitoris.
That sounds like you're just playing Double Dare Adults.
Oh my god, how good would an adult Double Dare be?
Right?
Where instead of like crawling through a big mouth, you have to crawl through a vagina, and then there's like the dick slide, and there's a big like shaving cream pool at the end. Come on!
Find the huge ball of this giant pile of cum lube. Adult Double Dare, hosted by Mark Summers' gross cousin.
Make it happen.
All right, let's see here. How likely are you to answer our poll? Oh no, I'm sorry, we're skipping one. What bonus content should we offer as Patreon tiers? Oh, it's a serious one.
Okay, so here's a serious question we asked you, and you did pick, of course, as our number one answer, we just buy a pig.
We just buy a pig. I mean, it's not
now,
that
if you've looked at our Patreon lately, you will see that we have added on to that, we will buy a pig when we get to a certain level.
That level is, you might call it stupid and ridiculous, and it is.
But it's $3,000 per.
Per episode.
Now, granted, I think that is a small price for you to pay for us to have a pig.
I mean, come on. Wouldn't you have a better life going through it knowing that two guys who you listen to talk about role-playing games also have a pig?
Come on. You'll get your first glimpse of us. You'll have a picture of us with a micro pig in booties.
In booties, people. In
booties.
Booties.
All right. So, number two was movie mastery in theaters, horrible movies in theaters that are now playing, got our number two, which
we'll do that.
We'll definitely put that as something we can do.
We'll put it on the tier. And the reason it'd be a Patreon thing is because neither of us can afford to go to
the
goddamn
movies. Yeah, we're super poor, and movies cost a shitload to get into now.
Yeah, so instead of going to movies that we literally download or, I have people mail
Netflix
to us or Netflix them, we'll actually go see movies in theaters that people maybe not give a shit about, but are more aware of.
Yeah.
So that's, we'll put that on the thing. It'll just be probably the 250 Patreon goal. The next one was Skype RP sessions with System Mastery Fellows. I'm not even sure how that would work. I feel like
poorly.
Maybe we'd need to have people just literally send us money if they wanted us to.
Yeah, they need to just.
Then we'd be like their role playing hookers. Money.
And then they could do whatever they wanted with us. Yeah. They can finish the session wherever they want.
No role playing on the mouth though, guys.
I gotta save something for my GM.
If you want us to join your role playing games and you live in San Diego or you have a really good Skype session, just send us an email. Maybe we'll make it into a special feature or something. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Whatever.
Actual swag came in at 4th. I'm surprised. People just don't care about getting actual stuff that we have.
Yeah, nor is the last one the pre-show video journals.
People know what we look like. That's what it is.
Well, people would know what we look like then, and that would ruin the mystery.
You know what I forgot to put on this, and we totally should have put it on there, is Twitch streaming.
Yeah, we'll stream us playing a game. It'll be a terrible stream. We don't have any of the equipment that normal Twitch streamers do.
And we don't have any good video game systems, so it'd mostly be us playing Lego Marvel on an Xbox 360.
And yelling at each other about, why the fuck do you keep shooting me with an ice beam? You son of a bitch! Let me just use my telekinesis to make a bridge!
Yeah, that's what you'll be hearing. A lot of that. A lot of me complaining about how bad John is at Marvel vs. Capcom 3, so I don't have any challenges.
Oh, yeah, I'm fucking terrible at Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah.
And all fighting games.
So there you go. We should have added Twitch streaming, but because that's the hot thing, right?
That's, oh, yeah, that's what the kids these days
the
like.
Kids
I bet
days.
That's what Devlin likes.
Yeah, I mean, just let us know, and we'll set up a Twitch stream where you can see our face. You can see my face.
You can
and
see
then the
my
game,
dick.
Yeah, my face, the game we're playing, and John's dick.
Yeah, well, obviously, I do play games with my dick.
Yeah, just slapping around at that keyboard.
Yeah, I was like playing the bass.
All right, let's see. How likely are you to answer our polls? Oh my god, we're going so over. Leprechaun 4 in Space wins this one with 46%.
Woo!
Yay! All right, the joke was awesome.
Leprechaun 4 wins, finally!
Yeah, good job, Leprechaun 4. And then we got one left, and then we're going to be done for the day. Which thing needs more written content?
And taking it away is the Blimplaggers campaign setting.
The Blimplaggers campaign setting. So we will work on more Blimplaggers campaign setting.
You might not hear it for a while, but by God, we are working on it.
It's going to be a goddamn long time, because it takes a long time to write a role-playing game. And if you'd like to get in on the ground floor of Blimplaggers and contribute content, if you're actually a game designer, for example, for the love of God, we are not. Please contact us and help us. All right, and then after that, Captain Beef Dicks.
Whoa!
Hey, Freudian. Hey, Captain Beef Dips, Big Gay Space Rave Adventures. I don't know what we're gonna... A comic book, short story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tijuana Bible. How much would you like a Tijuana Bible of Captain Beef Dips, Big
Gay? I would love that.
That would be so great. Like him hooking up with Donald Duck and then Dagwood.
Oh, that would be so good.
Someone draw that for us. Please, we can't draw. And then Duckman the RPG coming in third. I guess people just knew that we can't do
it. We're done with it.
We can't do it.
Yeah, we already did it.
Yeah, Live Emotion versus the Fat Knife Clowns at fourth. And then a bunch of other votes. All of the above, Adventures in Pig-Related Commerce, The Holocaust Denying Dogs, David Icky-ish Blog, Christ Almighty. I would prefer The Holocaust Denying Dogs Alex Jones-like website instead. Chemtrails are a thing. False flag operation.
Yeah, we got we also got Elric Goes to Banana Town, which I love.
It's a children's book, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So the Vendorant Nalabirong Hunter. It's a Vendorant one.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was like Turok or something, but
No,
it's just the Vendorant Nalabirong Hunter. I'm gonna stick my thumb right up his ass.
And then Leprechaun 4 in Space the RPG.
Of course. And there you have it.
Thank you so much. If you've got any questions for us or things you would like to see on a future poll, please feel free to contact us. We are on every social media imaginable. We're on the Twitter at System Mastery. We're on Facebook as System Mastery. We are SystemMastery@gmail.com. We are System Mastery on Tumblr.
Yep, sure.
We've got a Yahoo Answers account and
Google Plus.
System Mastery.
We got a Quora feed if you want to read out the answers to a question. Sure.
Yeah, why not?
We're on myfreecams.com.
Find us on Napster. find us at
on Friendster.
Friendster.
Find our MySpace, which is nothing but rotating babies.
Yeah,
of
all of that.
Of course we have our Cam Girl account where we shake it for money.
Yeah, just go to myfreecamrpg.com.
Oh, God, it'd be like that, oh, God, it'd be like a Cormac McCarthy novel. It'd be like The Judge. Just hairlessness and this is my design.
Wow.
So,
all right.
SystemMasteryPodcast.com is the website. Visit us there to find all our new episodes, to leave us comments and let us know what you think. Subscribe to any one of our shows on iTunes or Stitcher.
Make sure to rate and review when you're there, because I know we're never going to be popular enough for that to matter, but it makes us feel good.
It actually is kind of fun to go through and read those reviews.
Yeah. Leave a fun review.
Yeah.
Leave a shitty review with 5 stars. I don't care.
That'd be great. That'd be great for us.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and do that, and then support us on our Patreon. If you like what we do and you want us to keep doing it, get on our Patreon, throw a dollar our way. The only time we charge you is when we release the System Mastery episodes. So
yeah.
Usually twice a month, and it's not that big a deal.
Every other week,
yeah.
You can give us some money. We give you 4 podcasts at this point if
oh
you're
my
subscribing.
God. We're so tired.
Please like me. Please like me. Do you want me to do another podcast? Do I need to dance for you?
We'll make a board game podcast. We'll review our own podcasts.
Ah, yes, it's the System Mastery Podcast.
Where all we do is listen to our own show and make fun of it. I'll do that.
Calm down.
Yeah, sure. So there you go. This has been Patrick. Oh, God. John's getting up and leaving. This has been
I'm out.
This has been the Afterthought Podcast. As always, have a wonderful week.